Hey, welcome to the Creative Classroom Podcast. I'm your host, John Spencer, former middle school teacher, current college professor. Taught middle school for about 12 years, a little more than that maybe. And I am passionate about creativity and I'm passionate about education. And normally in this podcast, we talk about that intersection between creativity and student learning. But today I want to talk about something a little different. And it's basically this idea of rest and renewal that we have during winter break. And so I'm going to go ahead and share something that's not completely about education or about creativity, but hopefully it'll connect to you. So I'm going to start with a story. And this is all about the 7 teacher-tested strategies for finding renewal on your winter break. I still remember my first winter break in my first year of teaching. I scratched out Christmas Eve and Christmas as the true days off, but then I worked the rest of the time. I read 2 books on teaching. I took home a giant box full of papers to grade. I planned out my first 3 weeks of lesson planning. You get the idea. Don't get me wrong, I did this leisurely between cups of coffee and more cups of coffee, and to be honest, I kind of enjoyed it. When I started back, I felt like I was ready to roll. I had used my time productively, and that was a key thing to me. But then something happened in late January. I felt, restless and tired. I yearned for a break, a true break, not just from my classroom, but from the daydreaming of projects and incessant lesson planning in my own head. I needed a break from the whole topic of education. I needed a break from being a teacher. I wanted to watch a movie and read a novel and hang out with friends and just be with my wife. I needed to be unproductive. So months later, when I sputtered into spring break, I treated it like a break. I mean, a real break, a totally unproductive break. I gave myself the permission to avoid grading. I avoided professional books and blogs. I didn't feel an ounce of guilt from the people who complain that teachers have it so easy. Gosh, I got sick of that complaint. Because of how much vacation time they get and this whole tit for tat deal where, you know, let's be real, most of the people complaining about teachers who have all this extra time off get more than 20 minutes to scarf down lunch, and they can, you know, use the restroom whenever they want. So there's a lot of perks to those jobs, like, well, they don't have to do bus duty or cafeteria duty. But here's the deal. Teaching is exhausting, and rest is vital. There's this sense of presence you need, the constant energy you bring, the give and take between students, the conflicts you have to navigate, the sense of pressure about the tests and the tensions between what you believe about learning and what the system requires of you. All of that becomes draining. Now, this is especially true for introverted teachers like me. We work in a profession with constant communication and collaboration. It is beautiful, yes, but it's also disoriented to introverts. You can hit a place where you simply feel lost. And if you love teaching, it can actually feel more draining because you are liable to put a ton of work into your craft. My friend Trevor Muir has a great video, and it's on this blog post connected to it. And I love the way he puts it as far as, you know, why teaching is tiring and why he feels tired at the end of a semester, but why it's still something he loves to do. And I could relate to that on so many different levels. And sometimes it's more than simply exhaustion. There's a perfectionism in teaching that can lead to an unhealthy striving and a lack of contentment. Sometimes you need to simply break up with busy, and you need to tell yourself, I'm done with giving 100% to everything that's required of me. I'm going to sometimes give 14% or 12% on the things that simply do not matter, and 100% on the things that actually do. Now, there's nothing wrong with doing professional reading or lesson planning or any of that during the break. If that's your thing, please ignore this entire blog post and podcast. But if you want to treat the winter break as a true break, I'm going to offer some strategies that might help out a little bit. For the last 2 weeks, I've been talking to current classroom teachers, and I've been adding their strategies to this list. So some of these are from me, but a lot of these are from veteran teachers who have lasted for a long time, who are still passionate about teaching and who love the craft of being a teacher. So here are the teacher-tested strategies that we came up with. Number one, take time for self-reflection. This can be tricky, but I found it helps to take a day or even half a day and just review the student surveys I do at the end of a semester and take an honest look at what's working and what needs some tweaking. Number two, take nothing home. And I mean this seriously. Ditch the grading. Avoid the lesson planning. One of my teacher friends says that he works extra hard for 2 weeks before the break and then makes sure everything is ready for him the moment he walks into his room after the break. It's sort of a sprint to the finish and then rest like crazy afterwards. And I kind of like that idea. Number three, find inspiration from other domains. Read a book, watch a movie, go hiking, take a real vacation, spend some time doing what you love. Paint, draw, you get the idea. Number four, keep a brainstorming space. Sometimes the slack you feel on your time off can actually lead to huge creative breakthroughs. You have these brilliant ideas when you go to bed or when you're in the shower or you're going for a walk, and it actually becomes a sort of productive unproductivity, if that makes any sense. And it can help in these moments to record those ideas and then simply walk away from it. So I keep a notepad where I jot down ideas for projects or lessons, activities, anything that pops into my head, and then I walk away from it. And it's just a tablet during the break. And I keep it on a clipboard, actually. It looks kind of funky that I have this like clipboard coming around the house, but it actually helps me stay focused on just having fun. Number five, do something creative. Paint, draw, make friendship bracelets, you know, whatever you're into. Underwater basket weaving, pottery, making, you know, what is it? Food sculptures? Have you ever seen those? There's this thing where people like make sculptures with food. It's kind of cool, kind of weird, but kind of fun. I've never done it, but, you know, we can try that out. So maybe not food sculptures or friendship bracelets, but there's probably something that you can do that's truly creative outside the domain of teaching. And this helps build empathy with your students as they do creative work while also allowing you to hit a state of flow. It's kind of cool. Number six, spend time with people you love. This is obvious, but there's something that can that came up over and over again when I talked to people. They always described that the biggest thing they could do is just hang out with people they loved, and that in their worst years of teaching, when they didn't take breaks, they were often not fully present with the people that they cared about. They were thinking about lessons or grades or whatever, and it kind of ruined the break. Number seven, practice mindfulness and meditation. So I have a friend, and she's been teaching for over 30 years, and now, after being retired from teaching, she's back in the classroom because, get this, she really loves teaching. But she also really takes breaks, and she part of the winter break, she will take one day, and she will do meditation and mindfulness. She keeps a journal, and she schedules this time at an abbey and treats it like a business meeting or a conference. I mean, it is scheduled and nobody's getting in the way. It's pretty cool the way she has that set up. And I don't do meditation. I've thought about it before, but the way she describes it, it really fuels her ability to be fully present and energized as she goes back into the classroom. Now, I want to point this out, that these are not recipes or requirements. They're simply ideas you might want to experiment with on your time off. Please take all of it with a grain of salt and understand that I am not in the business of telling you what to do, especially on something like resting. But if you found any of these helpful, that's awesome. So thanks for listening and have a wonderful day. If you enjoy this podcast at all, please leave a review on iTunes. It sometimes feels like I'm just talking to myself. And then every once in a while, someone will be like, hey, I listen to your podcast. And it feels crazy because I don't have any reviews. So I don't really know anything about what people think of this podcast. So leave a review and let me know what you think.